I hope love is exciting and new for you. I hope you enjoyed that last song this morning, because that's what I want to do this morning. We've been thinking about and speaking on our relationships, and we've been looking to Jesus. So this morning, I pray that that song is maybe your prayer this morning, that as we look and we think about love, that we're going to look at Jesus and look at him as an example, him as a model of how we can love others. And so we're going to look at that this morning. So you might want to get your outline out. Let me encourage you to do that and kind of get ready to follow along. But we're going to talk about words this morning. Look at the title. Words are always a struggle. I've already messed up this morning. When I was talking about breast cancer, it's breast cancer awareness time. I don't know what I said earlier. I've already forgot that. Please forget that. Now it's, you know, trying to get our words. We get our words mixed up. We get our words confused. And yet in relationships, words are so important. And words are always a challenging. Having the right words. You ever struggle with, I just don't have the right words. Anybody ever say something like that? Yeah. So we want to talk about words this morning and see what we have. Look what the scripture says here. All of us often make mistakes. All of us. Does that include you? I'll let you answer that. That's up to you. I put myself there. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect, and he is also able to control his whole being. I don't know about you, but words are a struggle. I often say the wrong thing. I tell people I get that cow disease, hoof and mouth, you know, open mouth, insert foot. Lots of time it's not just the foot, it's going way down, all right? But words are always a challenge because words can be productive and words can be destructive. Words are powerful. And so James, we're looking here at James. James had a lot to say about words. He had a lot to say about what we, how and how we speak. And he tried to paint a picture for us. You know how a picture's worth 1,000 words? Listen to what James says about words. When we put a bit in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. He's saying, listen, your words have power. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider with a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. He's saying, your mouth has power. Your words have power. It can be productive or destructive. And he's saying, you got to pay attention to the words you use. We need to engage our brain before we speak. You ever talk like this sometimes? You know, my brain wasn't engaged. I don't know what I was saying. I don't know what I was thinking when those words come out. Because our words are really powerful. And they can either help or they can destroy. They can either build up or tear down. Words have that power. And James is wrestling with this. He says, it's such a small part of our body. Think about it. It's just a small part. And yet, how much power does it have? It's like a horse. You just put that little bridle and that bit and bridle in the horse's mouth. You take that horse wherever you want it to go. Take these monster ships, and all it is a little rudder on the back that drives the ship. And he describes how productive it can be. But then he didn't stop there. He went at how destructive it can be. You know, it starts a whole fire. I mean, it only takes a little spark to all the mountains in L.A. It seems like all L.A. was burning up this winter, this summer. Fires everywhere. Just one little spark. Yeah. I've heard of fires being started by chainsaws. And just some guy out there with just a little chainsaw starts a massive forest fire. And he says, that's how powerful our tongue is and how destructive. And he has something to say about this because he says, listen, it shouldn't be so. Look at what he says. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and our Father. And with it, we curse men. We have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? A salt spring produce fresh water. He's saying, out of your mouth, good and bad shouldn't come. Out of your mouth, it either needs to speak good or it should speak bad. Now, I don't know about you, but this is tough. It's easy to speak the wrong thing. I don't know about you, it's very natural for the wrong thing to come out of my mouth. It just, you know, and it's a battle. And how and why does this happen? And what is it, what causes all this? And how come, you know, how can that be? That I know I want to speak what's right. I know I want to say what's right. But so often, it doesn't work. It doesn't come that way. Where does it start? I want you to look at this next verse. I want you to circle a word here. Why don't you look at it? Look at this verse and tell me what word you think you should circle. You are a bunch of evil snakes. So how can you say anything good? Your words show what is in your hearts. What word would you circle there? We're talking about our mouth. We're talking about our words. What word do we need to circle there? Where does our words come from? Where does our words start? A heart. I heard it out there. Circle the word heart. You know, I found it interesting. This morning, as I was leaning over the message, I'm going, we're going to talk about our mouth. We're going to talk about our tongue. We're going to talk about our words. But in order to talk about our tongue, our mouth, our words, guess where I got to start? I got to start with the heart. Because it's what's in our heart that comes out of our mouths. It's what's on our heart that comes out of our lives. That's what is seen. And so when I have a problem with the words I'm speaking, it's not my mouth that's the problem. It's my heart that's the problem. Because that's where it started. That's where it began to brew. And I want to make sure you know, it's not talking about that thing that's beating in your chest. That's that inner part of your being. You know, that's where it drives your life. It calls you. And it's saying, how can this be? James is saying, how can this be? And here's what I want you to know. It's so hard to speak the right words, but it starts in our hearts. And who can change our heart? Think about that. See, the wrong words in my mouth can be changed by my relationship with God. See, when my mouth is wrong, I need to go back and check about my relationship with God. Is my heart right with God? Am I at peace with God? Am I walking in one with God? That's what I want us to look at this morning. And we're going to talk about our words, but I want you to know you're not in this alone. You're not the only one, because it says we all make mistakes. I don't think any of us say we've never stuck our foot in our mouth. But we need to know that not only am I not alone in making mistakes, I'm not alone in needing the help to get over it. That God, who lives in my heart, wants to help me. That God that I've accepted when I was 17 years old and said, God, I want to do things your way. I'm tired of doing them my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. He wants to help me control my tongue, my mouth. He wants to speak in my heart the things that I need to hear. So I want to look at that this morning, and how can we get over it? So I just have three quick points this morning. Quick points, quick points. That's my goal this morning. We want to have three quick points this morning. As you look at your outline, I want to begin with this. I love people with honest words. I'm going to talk about the words you use, okay? The words I use. I want to be specific this morning. What is the words that come out of your mouth? In my mouth. What words do I choose to speak? And we're going to begin with this point right here. I want to speak honest words. I want to speak the truth. All right, there's a scripture here for it that beats us up. Look at what it says. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. We need to speak the truth in love. What's interesting is, Jesus had a lot of followers, but he was always honest, and he always spoke the truth, even when it was hard. Remember the woman he caught with adultery that they brought to him caught in adultery? What did he tell her? He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't play games with her. He said what? Go and sin no more. He didn't say, oh, you're okay. Don't worry about it. It's all over. No. Go and sin no more. A bunch of guys come struggling to him one time, and they were saying all sorts of things. He called them you bunch of hypocrites. Peter one time, one of his inner circle friends, one of the guys that walked with him, went to the Mount of Transfiguration, was close to him. Peter had just got done saying some great things. You are God. You are the Son of the living God. And then Peter says, no, you can't do that. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. I don't know about you, but if Jesus turned to me and said, Gary, get behind me, Satan, that would shake me up a little bit, all right? But he always spoke the truth. He told his disciples one time,
Oh, you men of little faith. He always spoke the truth. But what made Jesus different than most of us is he did it in love. The people knew that he loved them. The people knew that he cared for them, that he was concerned about him. See, some of us want to speak the truth because we got to straighten people out. You guys are quiet. You're real quiet. But we want to speak the truth because you got to get straight, and we got to straighten them out. Some people speak the truth because they like to see other people miserable. I hear some people up here laughing. Nobody out there. Come on now. I mean, you know, have you ever had anybody speak the truth to you that they really just wanted to straighten you out? You know, put you in your place? Yeah. See, we got to come back. And here's the thing when we talk about speaking the truth and that Jesus had. It came from his heart, which controlled his attitude, which controlled his motives, which controlled his desires. See, a lot of us, instead of speak the truth, we want to aim the truth. We want to shoot people with it because we've got the truth. And see, one of my questions and one of my challenges often as a church, and I've said this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it as your pastor, you need to have somebody in your life who can speak the truth to you, somebody who can say the hard things to you. You need to find somebody that you give permission to who can come to you face to face, nose to nose, and say, hey, you're messed up right now. You need to change. You need to have that person in your life. And you need to have somebody have that. But we need to see that in our lives. And it goes, and that person is, you want to give them permission because you know they care about you. You know they really want what's best for you. Because see, what it says here, and before we speak to somebody else, here's what you need to do. Look into your own heart. You know, here's one of the things I've learned from my life. This is just me. I don't know about you, but this is something that I struggle with. Many times the things that aggravate me the most in somebody else is something that's in me that's aggravating me. I know I don't like it either, but, you know, it's easier to criticize somebody else than myself. Yeah. And I've really noticed that, you know, the battles that I want to point fingers at, the things that I want to straighten out in somebody else's life are my battles. And we need to see that. And so if we're going to speak honestly, we need to start with our heart. I need to look into my own heart. Okay, God, where's it at in my life? Where am I at in my life? And examine who I am. And then out of care, out of love, out of compassion, speak the truth in love. See, one thing bothers me. We're going to go through several points this morning. And a lot of times, I'm going to speak the truth because I have to speak the truth. And then you ignore the other points where it says, be peacemakers. The other points that say, spur one another on. The other points that say, encourage one another. See, I got to speak the truth. Even if it hurts, I got to speak the truth. Is that what the Bible says? We need to understand that this is a whole package we're going to look at this morning. I want us to see. Look what the next verse says. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I want you to see this in two lights. This verse to me is very powerful. First, love does not delight in evil. That person is doing something wrong, and they need to hear the message, and they do, all right? That's the truth. They need to hear the honest message. You know, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Yes, that dress makes you look fat, okay? Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't went there, huh? You ever get that question? No matter what you say, don't delay answering either. I mean, you know, even a delay in that answer is in trouble, all right? Yeah. But we want to straighten that evil out. But you know what? There's also evil. Is my words evil? See, I see this in two ways. I need to be aware of the evil out there, but I need to be aware of the evil in my heart. See, evil delights, love does not delight in evil. See, I need to be aware of my own heart that rejoices with the truth. See, we need to stand for the truth, and we need to preach the truth. We need to teach the truth. We need to hold the truth up as a mirror in our lives. But we need to do it with love and compassion. See, I always find it interesting how Jesus had all the people following him. He called them vipers and hypocrites, and he had all sorts of words for them. And yet they still followed him. Why? Why would they come and hear him say these hard things? Because they knew he loved them. For God so loved the world, he sent his son. Jesus came because he loved us, and they knew it. And so, see, I want to begin. We want to speak the truth in love. We got to be honest. We got to have honest communication. You know, we need to be honest with one another. And like I said, you know, when your spouse walks out, does this make me look fat? You know, like I say, you don't want to delay in the answer, you know. And you don't, I've often wondered, I said it last week, I've been at Disneyland and I've seen some people with clothes on. It's like, they can't have a mirror in their house. I mean, I'm serious. It's like, you know, it's amazing now. I mean, I think pregnant women, it's great. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful times in life. But now they're walking around with their tops and their belly hanging out, you know. I don't know. Get a mirror. Honesty. I mean, somebody needs to say something. You know, I was talking last night, and they gave me 4 B's. I could have them come out, but they're not going to say it. Now, we're going to do it in another sermon one of these days. 4 B's about dressing modestly. But we need to be honest. I'm talking about clothes, but, you know, everything in our lives. I've shared about my trampoline and how somebody confronted me on that one. Yeah, Dan Setbecker waving at me. Yeah. We need to have that honest speak. And so I want to challenge you. In our communication, you need to be honest with one another. But you got to do it in love. It's not to straighten something. Well, it irritates me. It bugs me. Is that what God said? When it bugs you, straighten them out. Is that what the Bible says? When they irritate you enough, go back and tell them. When you're miserable, you can go do it. Speak the truth in love. All right? And it's got to come from your heart. Because you got to love them. Does that make sense? So if we're going to watch our words, and we're not going to have both salt and clean water, we're not going to have all this other garbage in our mouth, we need to watch our words. And one way to watch our words is to always speak honest words. Look at your outline. Let's move to the second one. I love people with careful words. Sometimes I joke around because the words just don't quite come. We need to have careful words. Look at what the scripture says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You ever notice when you're mad how the words are usually the worst words you could ever say? You ever notice that? You know, I think there's 3 things I want to talk about here as I think about careful words. I think we need to talk about anger. I think we need to talk about gossip. And there's one other thing. Too many words, I think. I think I'll talk about too many words. Anger. Anger. What do we do when you get angry? I'm going to ask you something. Anytime you're in a relationship, I don't care how long you've been in the relationship, there are going to be times when you get angry. Anybody been married long enough to know that? Yeah. There's going to be times when they tick you off. They push your button. I mean, relationships, it's just a part of relationships. There's anger in there. And it's just, that's just the reality. So the problem isn't, well, I shouldn't get angry. The problem is, what am I going to do with my anger? Because see, some people treat anger like a battlefield. We're going to have winners and losers, and I am going to win. All right? People treat anger like, you know, they treat it like a battlefield. I remember one time I was in a teacher's conference. They were hiring a teacher, and this teacher said this. In the midst of having discussions with parents, anytime I have a discussion with a parent, I always win. And I just sat there like, okay, that's fine. I don't want you here. You know, that was what went in my head, because if she wins the battle, she's lost those parents and she's lost that child. See, and that's what's wrong. If we take anger and make it a battlefield, because see, we'll dig a foxhole and we'll hide in it. And we'll just let them, people just keep lobbing that stuff at us. And we'll just sit in our foxhole and we'll just take it all in. And we get ulcers. You get emotional problems, psychological. You just keep taking it and you just hide in your foxhole. You know? Some in the battlefield, you store it up, man. They keep lobbing, and you just keep packing it away. And when you come out, it's like, all right, now it's my turn, and you start heaving the stuff. And you just blow them all up, man. There ain't no survivors on the field now. Because you treat it like a battlefield. Some of you, we just shoot artillery right off the bat. You lob one, I lob one. Okay, you said that, let me throw this one at you. Anybody ever have, come on now, you guys ever argue like that? Yeah. See, and we need to pay attention to our words. We need to kind of step back. What does this say? In your anger, do not sin. You're going to get angry, but just don't sin. How do you do it? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. All right? I want you to know, he didn't say solve it right now. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to take a walk. Anybody been there? Give me a minute. I got to take a walk. All right? I want to go for a drive, but I'm not going to go for a drive. At least that's not going to calm me down. All right? You know, I'm not going to get behind the steering wheel when I'm angry. It's going to make it even worse. All right? But we need to count to 10. You ever hear things like this? Yeah. A lot of times you hear this verse when you're getting married, maybe you went to a marriage counselor and somebody, you've heard this verse, don't let the sun go down on your, you know, like a counselor saying, here's some good ideas. I want to tell you, this isn't an idea. This isn't even a suggestion. Look at what it says. In your anger, you might want to not let the sun go down. Is that what it said? It says, don't, do not. This is a command. What it's saying is, solve today's issues today. You might need to go count to 10. You might need to take a break. You might need to go for a walk. Whatever you need to do, but you solve it. Solve it. See, we need to see that in our lives. Anger's a reality. And anger's a battle that we have and a battle that we fight. And we need to be aware of that. And so I want to encourage you, what are your words? What are you going to do when you get angry? Not if you get angry, when you get angry. How are you going to respond and what are you going to do? See, are you going to choose careful words? One of the best things I've always heard about speaking and talking, it's like a tube of toothpaste. You squeeze the words out of your mouth. You ever try to put them back? You ever try to put toothpaste back in the tube? I tried that just to, you know, I heard the thing, you know. It ain't going to happen. Once the words come out of your mouth, guess what? You ain't getting them back. They're gone. And you're going to have to live with them the rest of your life. Be careful in the midst of your anger. Be careful in what you say. What about gossip? I mean, most of us know gossip is a sin. Anybody here don't think gossip's a sin? We all know gossip's a sin, but you know what? Gossip, it's not the same as adultery. You know, it's not the same as murder. It's just gossip, right? It's just gossip. It's not that big of a deal. You know, there's murder and there's adultery and there's all this other stuff out there, and it's really no big deal. Well, I want to tell you, look where Jesus puts gossip. Look where the Bible puts gossip. Look at the scripture. For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. He puts in the middle of all kinds of sin. See, but most of us don't gossip, right? Now, you never go in line at the grocery store and read the headlines of the National Enquirer, do you? Some of you guys are laughing. You never go to the beauty salon, California Beauty College, and you wait for your turn and you pull out People magazine. That's what I do. Yeah, I go to the beauty college. They cut my hair. I was just there 2 weeks ago. I sit down. I pull out. I look at the magazine. I get the People magazine out, and I start reading People. What's in People's magazine? Gossip. You know, what not to wear. I always look at what they're picking on the clothes. I don't know about you. I'm just going through, you know. Does this look better on her or her? Does this look better? But see, we don't gossip. Yeah. We'll look at the magazines and we'll read the stories. But you know what's so sad today for us is there's all sorts of ways to gossip today. Yeah. There's text messaging. Now see, when I grew up, I remember when my grandma moved to Placerville, she had what was called a party line. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you are too young to remember. Years ago, they didn't have enough phone lines for everybody, so I'll make sure the younger ones know this. They didn't have enough phone lines for somebody, so you shared phone lines. And so when the phone rang once, it had a certain ring, that was your phone. That was your time to pick it up. When it rang a different way, that was somebody, one of your neighbors was going to pick it up. I mean, that's how the phones used to work years ago. And I remember that. I'm not that old, though. All right? And I remember that. But you want to hear the stories. You just pick up the phone and hear their stories. So gossip is nothing new, all right? Gossip is something that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. I'll give you a hint. You want to do some fun? When you go to Disneyland, go to the little coffee shop, and they have a phone in there that you can pick up and listen to the gossip on the phone line. All right? You want to know what it was like? There's a phone in the little coffee shop store across the street where the checkerboard is, and you can go in there and listen to the gossip. People used to do that. But now we have text messaging. We have Facebook. We have Facebook. What else is out there? We have instant message. I mean, we gossip in 100 different ways. You know, I was talking to the kids last night. You know, we used to talk about capping on one another was a term I used to have. Yeah. Trash talk. They say it's dissing now or something like that. I don't know. These kids were trying to tell me and explain it to me today what the, you know, and put down. When I was a kid, we'd have put down. We need to think about the words. We know gossip is bad, but it's really not gossip. It's the truth. But is it really necessary to say? Is it really necessary to talk about? I remember one time we had a situation and somebody called one of our church members, and it's always stuck in my mind, and began to tell this church member all sorts of stuff that was going on, and the church member simply said, I don't listen to gossip. I thank you for calling. Call me again when you have something else to say, and hung the phone up. That took courage. Yeah. We need to think about gossip. We need to be aware of it and turn it out and not listen to it. Look at what it says in the next verse. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. All right, let's look on. This is the last one here in this little section on anger because it gets me in trouble. This is my problem. Those who are careful about what they say keep themselves out of trouble. On our school board, we have an evaluation. We evaluate ourselves. We evaluate the superintendent. The teachers are evaluated. It's all an evaluation system. On the school board, we evaluate ourselves. We just did that this last month. We're sitting around the table and we're asking what we did right, what we did wrong, how we can become better. And one of the things that came up in the conversation, which I couldn't believe, I don't see how, is I talk a lot. That the board meeting would go quicker, they wouldn't last as long if Gary just didn't talk that much. I'm the one always asking the question. I'm always the one who have a comment to make. I'm always the one. I like hearing my voice, okay? Yeah. We need to watch about our talking. We need to watch about the words and what we say. We need to be careful with what we say. And it's a battle in our lives. And we need to pay attention to that. And so I just want to encourage us in this way. And it's like I said, they ding me on this. You know, I need to watch how much I say. They really didn't. They always laugh about it. They tell me every board meeting. When I'm not there, they go a lot quicker and all, you know, and they just give me a bad time. You know, and it's like, but then they always say, we really appreciate what you have to say. So you got to have both, I guess. I don't know. But we need to pay attention to our words. Are you careful with the words? If you talk too much, it will get you in trouble. I like what Will Rogers had to say. Will Rogers had a great comment that he had to say.
Be careful of the words you say. Keep them soft and sweet, and you'll never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat.
Better watch what you say. You might end up eating your own words. Have you ever had to do that? Yeah. We need to be careful and watch what we say and be gentle with what we say and pay attention to what we say. And we need to do that. So I wanted to give you, you know, we talk too much. But I want to make sure you understand, some people, I just talk too much. I'm going to admit that. I talk too much. But some people, it's a personality, all right? They like to tell the story, all right? They want you to have the whole story and nothing but the story, all right? They want to tell you every little detail. It's aggravating, all right? But there's people like this. You know, and they'll begin to tell the story, and you know, and it's like, well, get to the point. Yeah. And they got to tell you about all the little details. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now, it's... You know, it's like, What are you trying to say? Just tell me what you want me to know. Anybody? But that's a person. Sometimes you just need to say, okay, I need to listen to them. Because that's their personality. They want to tell you every little thing. This is how it came to be. Just tell me what happened. No, let me tell you, here's how it started. It started with this, and then it went to this, and then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, and then this is when it happened. Well, why don't you just tell me that? That's all I wanted to know. So sometimes I like it. When I was reading the notes on the message and the notes in the book, the guy was talking about, Tom Holliday was talking about, sometimes he's just got to kick back in the recliner and say, okay, let me hear the story. And you just got to sit there and relax and And you got to listen to the story. And sometimes that's a personality thing we need to pay attention to. Okay, so I just want to encourage you there. Sometimes we got to watch the words we speak, and sometimes we got to watch that personality that we have. So be careful. Anger can mess up your words. Gossip will mess up your words. And too many words will mess up your words. And you got to pay attention to all those words. And the last thing I want to look at, deals with this. I love people with building words. I pay attention that my words build up. All right? Your words can either strengthen your marriage or tear your marriage down. Your words can either build your child's self-esteem or tear down that child's self-esteem. Your words to a coworker can open a relationship up to share Christ, or can tear down a relationship that had the potential of making a difference for eternity in somebody's life. See, our words need to be building words. And we need to pay attention to those words that we use. Look at what the scripture says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen to them. Words that build Are we having words that lift people up, words that build people up, words that take people another step? See, we need to have those kind of words. I like what this says, no unwholesome talk. Well, I don't swear. I don't talk bad. Is that what it's talking about here? I want to tell you, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of unwholesome talk. I think put downs, you know, that's unwholesome. Yeah. I think criticism is unwholesome. You know, and now maybe you might not think this is unwholesome, but now here's something else that I think is unwholesome. I have this word. Some of you might have another. I'll give you another word. Here's this word. My word is whatever. You get in a matter of a conversation. Laura's talking. I'm listening. I'm tired of listening. And I go, whatever. What does that mean? That means I'm done listening. Shut up. Let's go on. All right? Now, some of you may say words like, that's fine. That's fine. Whatever. I mean, now you guys are laughing at me, but you know I'm true. You know, it's like, I'm tuning you out. It's over. I'm done. No more. To me, that's unwholesome, isn't it? Yeah. Whatever. You know, where are we going to go to dinner? Whatever. Just tell me where to go. Are you having this conversation? Fine, let's just keep going. I think that's unwholesome. I don't think it's just talking about, well, I didn't say a bad word today. I didn't use God's name in vain today. I didn't swear today. I don't think that's all it is. I think, do I have words that build somebody up? And it doesn't say, it says, don't let it come out, but then are your words helpful? Avoid this, but do this. We need to think about our words. And sometimes you need to know, sometimes it is best to keep our mouth shut. Sometimes it is best not to say anything. And Proverbs beats this up all the time. There's a lot of passages in Proverbs that beat this up. I want you to hear these verses.
Proverbs 10:19, if you talk a lot, you are sure to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet.
Proverbs 17:28, even fools seem to be wise if they keep quiet. If they don't speak, they appear to understand.
That's me.
Proverbs 13:3, those who are careful about what they say protect their lives, but whoever speaks without thinking will be ruined.
Think about that. What about our words? Are we careful with our words, not just unwholesome talk. Am I building people up? Am I lifting them up? Am I taking them another step, or am I putting them down? You know, we have words that push people down. You know what I'm saying? We keep them in the mud. We need to think about our words. And what's great is this is an acrostic from Rick Warren. This isn't mine. This isn't something Gary thought up. Gary's not this smart. But I love this acrostic. Look at what it says here. We're going to go down through this. When we think about our words, T is for truthful. Before I speak, I need to think, is it truthful? Is it truthful? Not is it twisted a little bit? Not is it a half truth? Is it the truth and nothing but the truth? Before I speak, I need to make sure of. I get emails all the time. Anybody get emails that people say, I found this on the internet? And then you go think with snoops.com and it's a lie? We need to check those kind of garbage out there and check ourselves. Is it truthful? Look at the H stands for, is it helpful? Is it really going to be helpful? Is it going to help somebody? Is it going to pick them up? Or is it going to push them down? I stands for, is it inspirational? Is it going to encourage them? Is it going to help them go another step, to move on in life, to take another journey, and to become all that God wants them to be? N is it necessary? You know, a lot of things need to be said, but is it really necessary? Is it something that really has to be said? Or can we let this slide? Can we let it go by? Is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Is it kind? Not is it cruel? Not does it straighten them out? But is it kind? I love that across. I mean, it really says something about our words. Most of us, if you're in my boat, a lot of times, my mind engages after the words came out of my mouth. It just, sometimes I get what's called diarrhea of the mouth, okay? I mean, it just keeps running. And we need to stop and think. I always enjoyed Jimmy Carter when Jimmy Carter spoke. Anybody remember Jimmy Carter being president? Some of you guys go, I don't even know. Jimmy Carter was president, all right? If you know your history. And I enjoyed watching Jimmy Carter speak. Jimmy Carter spoke very slow, very deliberate. You watch him speak, and he was just always going like this. And I like that. I just, you know, it's just kind of different. I talk a million miles a minute. You know something? I'll tell you, the average person speaks 700 words a minute. You only read about 150 if you're a good reader. I'm not there. But you speak about 700 words a minute. That's a lot that we do. We need to think before we speak. It's going to either build our relationships or it's going to tear them down, plain and simple. And all of us make mistakes. I want to go back to where we start. All of us make mistakes. All of us. There are times when I wish I had not said that. Anybody else? There are times when it wasn't what I meant. Anybody else? That's not what I intended. That's not what I was trying to say. We need to check carefully our words, because it will either build our relationships or tear them down. Your marriage, your best friend, wherever it's at, we need to think about our words. Look at what the last point I put there for your outline is this. I think before I speak. And see, what it says is, I go into my heart. I want to go back to the heart again. We're talking about our mouth. We've got to go to the heart, because that's the heart of the issues. The heart of the mouth, the heart of the mouth is the heart. Because that's what's coming out. So when I got a problem with my words, I need to go back to my heart and think about my heart. Is my heart right with God? Is that really what God has? And it's in my heart. And so I want to just challenge you. But we're going to do like we've been doing. I've been giving you homework. I'm doing my homework. Anybody else doing their homework? Raise your hand if you're doing homework. Boy, I'm not getting very successful at this. I'll encourage you. You know, if you just... you just sit here for a little while and walk out and blow it off, it ain't going to help, all right? Doesn't make me feel good either. I mean, it's like I'm a failure. You know, I want you guys to, you know, practice some of this. So here's some things. Now, I could check all of these, but I just want you to check one, okay? But I could check all of these, all right? I want you to check one of these. Okay, let's look at homework here. kind words. An anxious heart wears a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Will you have a kind word for somebody this week? Is there somebody at work, a neighbor, a friend, somebody at work that just needs to hear you say something kind to them? Something that's going to build them up, something that's going to lift them up, something that's going to encourage them. Do you have a kind word? G, gentle words. A gentle word, a gentle answer will calm a person's anger, but an unkind answer will cause more anger. Is there a time when in the midst of a battle, that you want to call it a battle, that you can just have a kind word, a gentle word, just to kind of calm things down, to pull things back, just a gentle word, you know, that teller that's being a jerk, that jerk of a clerk, you know, that gentle word that can just kind of bring things back down. P, pleasant words. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. You ever try to help somebody learn something and you say, oh, you're stupid? You can't get that. And then when they don't get it, you start getting louder because they don't understand. So you start yelling at them because they don't get it. Do your homework. That's not productive, is it? A pleasant word is very helpful in learning. I want to encourage you to do your homework this week, okay? Or next week you're going to get an F. All right? So I encourage you to do your homework. But a lot of times we don't do that. A pleasant word encourages learning. H, honest words. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I can't even handle hugs, much less a, you know. Honesty is the best policy. You ever hear that one? We need to be honest. But it's like we were saying in this whole message. It's not, I got to be honest and tell the truth, but what about careful words? What about building up words? I think it's the package. You know, I drive a car. Anybody here drive a car? All right. I drive a car. And I'm going to go to Sacramento today, and I got to go over to Costco. And what am I going to do at Costco? I'm going to get free food. Yeah. Now I'm going to go to Sacramento and eat. I'm going to go to Costco and get gas. But you know what? If all I did was fill my car up with gas week after week, month after month, year after year, all I did was keep that car full of gas. It's full of gas. It's full of gas. It's not always that way, but it's full of gas. I never check the oil. I never check the water. I'm just filling it full of gas. What's going to happen? Sooner or later, I'm going to have car problems. When I take care of a car, you got to check the oil. You got to check the water. You got to keep it full of gas. You got to check the air pressure in the tires. I want to tell you, that's what it's like when we talk about our words. I can't just say, I'm just going to be honest all the time. Even if it hurts, I'm going to be honest. Is that what the Bible says? If you keep doing it that way, just like a car is going to blow up, you're going to blow your relationships up. It takes the whole package. Honesty, pleasant, gentle, kind, and last but wise words. Let's look at wise words. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. We grew up with a saying, at least I did, and I think many of us. Sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. I broke my arm, I broke my leg, I broke my hand. I mean, you know, I was a kid. But you know what? I forget about that all the time. But words, Bucky Beaver, you know, they hang around a little while, don't they? Wise words make a difference. See, I think this is great. I'm just going to ask you, will you check one? Will you think before you speak and check one of these this week? I don't know. There are people, you know, like I said, I could check all of these. I'm hoping to use some of these this afternoon and get it out of the way. See? Just get it out of the way. You know, do it today, do it Monday, and then it's over. Then you can go, I did my homework. You can kick back the rest of the week. Then you can be mean and aggravating and irritating and angry, and you can just have that battlefield, have those artillery going off. But I just want to challenge you. Will you think before you speak? Will you? It's the whole package. I will speak with honesty. I will speak carefully. And I will speak that builds up. I want to challenge you. Can you do that? And God will bless you because it comes from the heart. And you don't have to do it alone. If you're struggling like me, today's going to be a test for me. I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to have a test. You need to know today's a test on relationships for Gary. Yeah. First of all, I got to get behind the steering wheel of a car. Yeah. That's the first part of the test. The second test, I'm going to be with relatives. That's the second part of the test. Yeah. I'm going to be checking these for me. Will you check yours? Will you let love affect the words that you speak? Let's pray.